الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. We'll just reveal, again, make muzakra of this, make revision of this ayat so that we keep our object in mind. That Allah Ta'ala has addressed us, the believers, who are His close friends. So we should take this. Allah is speaking to us in the Quran Sharif. Allah is speaking to us. And every individual, we should take it that Allah is speaking to me. And He is telling me that rozas have been made for us for you. And Allah made it easy for us, that it has been made for us, it was made for us on other people. And for what reason? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So that you are, and Allah's la'al, which is possibility, but Allah's la'al is a certainty. There is no possibility. لَعَلَّكُمْ لَعَلْ in Arabic is for possibility. But yeah, with Allah, it's not a possibility, it's a certainty. If you will keep your rozas properly, you will definitely get taqwa. If you get taqwa, you will be the friend of Allah Ta'ala. So you'll be in the close companionship of Allah Ta'ala. And this roza, we have to keep the roza as is required. Not only the outward roza, but the inward roza also. Not only the outward physical, but the spiritual roza also. That is, on every part of the body, Allah has made roza for us. And all what roza really is, they are things which are permissible, and for a little while you've been restricted. They are not permissible for you for some time. That's all we have to do. And if we do that, Allah has promised taqwa. If we will do it to the extent of what our farais are, not eating, drinking, and becoming intimate with one's wife, etc., then we will get the basics of taqwa, which our iman will be safeguarded. And all the basics of taqwa. And if we keep the roza as is required on every part, we will get the kamal of taqwa. And if we get that kamal of taqwa, we ourselves will experience the joy of life also. And then a person will look forward to roza all the time. Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Ali, right up to his old age, he said, right till the end of his life, he kept the tasbih and making zikr. So somebody said, Hazrat, the purpose of zikr is to zikr zakir ko maskur tak poncha deta hai. The zikr makes the person who makes zikr to reach the one he's making zikr of Allah. You have reached there. Now you don't need this anymore. Like you've traveled in a car, you reach your destination, you don't sit in the car. Now it's finished, the car is finished. You go on, you go ahead, reach the airport, now you'll take an aeroplane. You're not going to sit in the car anymore. You still, whether your tasbih is still now, he says, what made me reach till here? I feel shy giving it. The zikr, the tasbih is a reminder. A person, if he keeps a tasbih, and Allah give us the tawfiq to keep a tasbih in our pocket, and in fact in our hand, when the tasbih is there, you'll be reminded to read. You keep a Quran Sharif with you, you'll be reminded to read. So a tasbih will remind us. So like dhikr takes us to Allah Ta'ala. When roza, we keep it properly, our fast, and that will give us the taqwa, it will give us the friendship of Allah Ta'ala, then automatically a person will say, the thing that brought me here to this high position, I must carry on with it. And we will want to keep rozas out of Ramadan also. And Allah Ta'ala will make it easy also for us. Otherwise, rozas do seem to be a bit difficult. But for many people, Allah makes rozas very easy and they don't feel it at all. They're not even like aware physically that we have got roza. Allah makes it so easy. So the purpose of this fasting is that we keep a perfect roza. In that connection, we discussed about the tongue, roza of the tongue, that we don't speak wrong things. In order to reach that stage that we don't speak wrong things, we have to pass a phase where our tongue is controlled and not does not speak even permissible things. Right. We keep full control of the tongue. And then when you will now let the tongue be used, now it won't be used in haram. Now it will be only used in halal. But for a period, use it only for halal. So this is the period here that Allah Ta'ala has given us, this month of Ramadan. Adding to what we have said so far, that we must be conscious with our tongue, yeah, in the khanqa also, and especially when we are eating, when we are having our snacks after Isha, other times also, don't just talk with friends. And in fact, soon will be the last 10 days of Ramadan. Many brothers will make niyat of sunnat etikaf. And at that time when we are going to the toilet or we are going to make wudu, and if we are walking slow, in order we are talking with a friend while walking, then our etikaf can break. We're wasting time. So that we should be careful. Or while making wudu, we are talking and wasting, taking more time than what is required. And the stalking in wudu also, if we make it, then that will be the cause that we don't have concentration in namaz. Many people ask this question, no concentration in namaz. We should see the things which come before that. That our wudu, if we are talking about dunya things, other unnecessary things, then you won't have concentration in namaz. So all these things are necessary. And before wudu, we must make sure that our ghusl is in order also. And it might seem like a joke or something, but today it seems to be a reality. Like it is said that some new people went in Jamaat, so the Amir Saab making muzakara with them, asked them the faraiz, how many know the faraiz of wudu? So few only knew, how many faraiz are there? Very few knew that there are three faraiz, the others didn't know also. So he was very happy, at least a few knew. New brothers who went out, so he asked, what are the faraiz of wudu? So the one said, must have a soap, hot water and towel. So that is the faraiz of wudu. So then if that, and today it is a case like that, there are many people who don't know the basics. So if we don't know our ghusl, if our ghusl is not right, then where are we going to place our wudu? If our ghusl is not right, where is your wudu going to be placed on? Like a person, if he hasn't got a banking account, where are you going to deposit your money? So our iman is first. If the iman is there, now you can deposit there your namaz, your roza, your tilawat, everything. Similarly, if you haven't, if your ghusl is not in order, how are you going to place your wudu on there? So if the ghusl is not right, then wudu. And if wudu is not right, and we see also, we get complaints also of, yeah, in the madrasa environment, good students, senior students, what a slap dash they make of their wudu. Whether the elbows were washed or not, whether the heels were washed, just roughly, just something. And that is not called wudu. The same way, istinja is not just splashing some water. And the people that Allah Ta'ala says that Allah loves those people who acquire purity, tahara. There are those people who make the proper istinja. And especially for the month of Ramadan, and from here we should try and carry it on. Try and make our istibra, make sure we use tissue paper when we go to the toilet. Make sure as far as possible the last drops must come out. After making wudu, splash some water on the private part. All these things, we should try and do that. So, all that must be correct. Then we will get the benefit of from ghusl to wudu. From wudu, then our namaz will be correct. Then we will get the benefit. So even our roza, that after we keep the roza, the basics we do. But then on that basics, which are the most essential, build on that foundation now. And the one was with regard to the tongue, that we learn to control our tongue. Stay away from permissible talk also in this month. Then we will be able to stay away from impermissible things for the rest of the month, and Allah will make it easy. One very great lesson to learn from one incident which Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Alayhi has written, that a king, and in the past the kings were such, who were very much religiously inclined. Harun al-Rashid was a famous king also, and how many, about 300 nafil namazes he made per day, with all their duties as a king, and that was a king. Today we who are regarded to, the people think of as pious people, where we come even to 30 rakats of nafil namaz. And they were, what was their condition? So anyway, the kings also were like that, were righteous and pious, those who were in that line. So he made his son an alim. He sent him to an alim. Those days it wasn't, there weren't Darul Ulooms like this. So alim was teaching, so he became alim. In the process, that alim taught him, and that is what is true ilm, not only the academic side, but the spiritual side also, tarbiyah, islah also. So he told him that you must not speak what is unnecessary. But sometimes some people take something and very seriously. So after he qualified, the father was naturally very, very happy, and he made a very big dawat, and a king's dawat, and invited all the ulama, all the big people. And then he told the son, say a few words, some hadith, some ayats of the Quran, speak and give something what you learned. But he wouldn't speak. He remembered his ustad's advice that you must not speak. Now even right things he was not speaking. He went to the complete that he was not speaking at all. So when they coaxed him, encouraged him a lot, he wouldn't speak. So the king thought perhaps he's got stage fright. He's a new graduate, he just qualified now, and such great, great ulama, big, big gathering. So he's not speaking. Anyway, they carried on. But then he noticed still he's not speaking. He's just keeping quiet. Ustad gave him advice that silence is golden. That silence, you must just don't speak, and to keep quiet. Then the king thought that he's got a problem, so he started having him treated. In the process of the treatment, he sent him with some other ministers for a hunting spree. That when he will be light-hearted, and maybe then he will speak. Maybe it's too much, he's under tension, pressure, he's not speaking. So they went, and as this group was going, the hunting group, they passed by a bird, a partridge. The meat of it is very delicious. So they passed it and they didn't notice it. When they went past, then it sound that it made its sound. Then they said, oh, we passed the partridge. How could we miss it? They went back, they hunted it, they got it. Then the boy spoke. He said, as long as you were silent, your life was safe. As soon as you spoke, your life went. Now you got hunted and you got killed, your life went. So the boy spoke this side, all the ministers got very happy. That what the king wanted, he must speak, now he spoke. So immediately from there they came back and they told the king he spoke. And all of us heard it, we heard him that he speak, he can speak. So the king got very happy, again another big dawat. That my son can speak and he will give some advice. So all the ulama, big people again, he told them to speak, he didn't speak again. So the king said that you can speak, but you're not speaking. That means you are just pretending you can't speak. So he ordered the person who gives punishment in the palace of the king. He ordered him to give him 100 lashes because he can't speak and he's not speaking. So when he gave him the first lash, then again he spoke. He says when the partridge spoke once, it lost its life. When I spoke once, I got 100 lashes. And for those people who make all the time chak chak buck buck on the day of Qiyamah, how will they be punished? It comes in the Hadith Sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, you give me the guarantee of your tongue and your private part, the part which is between your jaws and the part which is between your thighs, and I give you guarantee of Jannah. And our tongue, every one of us know, and this that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam connected the two in one hadith, there is some connection. If your tongue is out of control, it must not happen that your private part also is out of control. And the tongue, as we explained, tried to explain, Allah put it between two jaws, the two regiments of an army. Allah put it between 32 teeth, between the police force on it also, to control it. And still it is so much out of control. And we know what our tongue is. Yeah, now we are listening. But when we are at home, unnecessarily how much we speak. What is necessary we should speak. We are shopkeepers, customer comes, how much we speak. If it's even a male, unnecessary how much we talk. And if it's a female, sometimes we go over the limit. What we shouldn't be speaking, we are speaking on the phone when we are speaking. What is necessary we speak, but unnecessary phone conversation, especially with regard to women, how long they are on the phone, how much is necessary. And many times a woman will speak for an hour on the phone, and when she puts it down, she says, what I phoned for, I forgot. What she actually phoned for, that she forgot. And 1 hour they were talking, whether it was the weather, whether it was the baking and the cooking and the dressing and all the fashions and the styles, all that, so much of unnecessary, all our talking that goes. So we have to learn to control the tongue. And this, whatever we speak, is written down. The Kiram and Katibin are noting everything. And on Qiyamah's day, for one person, Allah will, by Allah, hisab is not difficult. Allah will make hisab of everyone very easily. But just think for ourselves that from morning till night, or just in 1 hour, how much, just when we go down for meals, 20 minutes, 15 minutes should be enough, 20 minutes. We're sitting half an hour, we're sitting 3/4 hour, and now all that we are talking there, how much of harm. If we had finished our meal on time, and we came back and we read Quran Sharif, we read Tasbih, so much of benefit. And the tongue also, Allah has kept it inside. Ear is open, it can hear all the time. Nose is open, it can smell all the time. The eyes, though they are open, but Allah gave us shutters on the eyes. This is also ajeeb, qudrat of Allah. Any moment you want to close your eyes without pressing a button, just at the flick of a thought, you just pull your shutters down and your eyes are closed. But the mouth, the tongue, Allah put it inside. And that which is protected so much is so much out of control. And we all know with regard to our tongue how much we speak. Even those that we say is a very reserved person, that person also speaks so much. Whether it's a girl, whether it's a boy, whether it's a man, a person who's reserved also. And speaking, we explained that the buzurgs of the past, they should note down whatever they spoke. And if we want to try and note, then we'll need every day how many notebooks. One easy way today, again, use technology the right way. Whenever we speak, then just record it. And then at night, try and play it again. That what I spoke today. And then we just the other casual talk. If we are giving a bayan or something that is different, we are reading Quran Sharif, but just our casual talk when we are in the i'tikaf environment, when we are having our meals, put the phone on. And then see that afterwards try and listen whether we'll get so much time to listen. And we might get very, very surprised that I spoke these things. We won't be able to accept that I spoke these things. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah protect us all. When the Nama Amal will be open, then we won't be able to believe it was me, I did all these things. I wasn't a person. Many persons say, ask my friends, I'm not like this what they are talking about me. But when we see our Nama Amal, or if Allah opens up upon us in this dunya, that what my life and what I spoke and what I told, many times somebody said, you told me this. I will say a thing like that. I will never. It's beyond me. Ask anyone. I don't speak a word like that. But some of our friends, they were recorded. Now when they are recorded with what they spoke, vulgar language, words you can't, perhaps we usually say that if there was a, hopefully there isn't, a dictionary of swear words, vulgar words. But if there was, some of us who are like pious, proper beard, topi, kurta, five, everything is in its place. But what the vulgar language comes out, you can't believe it. And they get recorded also. And then you can't, I spoke these words. You think that perhaps a jinn had come into me as a jinn language, that it's not my language. I didn't speak these things. So on the day of Qiyamah, Allah protect us. When all that will come out, and it won't come out just in front of us, in front of everyone, in all the environments, how we speak to our workers, how we speak to our subordinates. Hey, many times these things are right out of control. What and what things we speak. So the tongue is very, very important that we learn to control it. And as we said, that if we just get even the tongue under control, or even reasonably under control, our Ramadan was well spent. And in this one Ramadan, our whole Islah can be made. Allah give me tawfiq. It's not just a matter of speaking also, but really a matter of bringing it into us. And in speaking also, whatever we want to speak, we should try and think of it, that what am I going to say? And how am I going to say? What words am I going to use? Another thing, some of our friends have got that problem also, that the tone of speaking. They just by nature it is like harsh. Even if they want to ask you, how are you? It's a nice thing. How are you? Now the person gets frightened. It was supposed to be just a simple, straightforward, but the nature is like that. Even if they make bayan, they don't mean to offend a person. But just the tone of the voice is like that. So that also we have to try and get it under control. Like for example, somebody visitors came, and you came in there and you just started, how are you? They will also get frightened. This person, how is it? So the speaking is in every aspect we have to learn to speak. Which Allah Ta'ala says that قولوا قولا سديدا. That speak straight. And this ayat, Allah Tabaruk wa Ta'ala reminds us and tells us that learn how to speak and speak in the correct way. And after that, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يُسْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ. Translation is your amal will then be correct. But the tafsir of it is your amal will be accepted. If we learn to speak correctly, our amal will be accepted by Allah Ta'ala. So this is a very important thing, and especially between husband and wife, lot of arguments take place just because our speech was not correct. What we wanted to say, and also commonly that I meant this. So the answer to that is, what you say, mean what you say, say what you mean. Don't say something else and you meaning something else. Say what you meaning, what's in your heart, and what you say mean what you say. So that needs also islah. It needs therapy that we have to learn to speak correctly. So Allah Ta'ala give us that tawfiq that our tongue comes under control. Then another thing that is very, very important in our roza, that we have to keep roza about also, is about the eyes. That is also one very major thing. Previously, we should say that we are in this masjid environment we have come. So yeah, your eyes, you know, females here. And hopefully, the disease, hopefully it never comes here, of what young boys, the guna of sodomy and all this, which governments have legalized now. And governments legalize things when that thing is already current. And because it is so prevalent that they legalize it, like they want to legalize drugs, because drugs are common. They legalize alcohol. And till 1910, over 100 years ago in South Africa, adultery was, by law, it was a crime. But then those same ministers who are sitting in the parliament and who are making, in the legislature, who are making the laws, they say, if this is a law, we are all guilty. So change the law. Not that we change, but we have changed the law. Today, unfortunately, everything works like that. That we don't want to change, but we have to change the law. We don't want to change ourselves. Quran we want to change. The Sharia we want to change. Whereas the right thing is we must change. If the shoes are not fitting, change your shoes. Don't change your feet. Don't chop and cut your feet. No, you change your shoes. So anyway, so this is what happens, that you want to change the laws. What was that?
What is
Gee, so this year that governments have legalized it now. What do you call it? Homosexualism, homosexuality, they have legalized it now. And so much they have brought it that if you speak against it, you are the criminal. The charge will be made against you, and you will be taken to court, and you will be put away in jail if you speak against it. to this extent, and all the others, what governments have legalized now, and we are going headlong to our destruction. It is only Allah's clemency, Allah Ta'ala's kindness, His promise that Allah's system is Allah's system which only Allah knows. Nobody else knows. Otherwise, for our destruction, we have done everything for our complete destruction, annihilation totally. We have done it already. So that inshallah, yeah, in the masjid environment, hopefully that in the Muslims, in our environments, in our circles, hopefully that gunas are not there. Allah keep us safe from it. And we know all about the people of Lut alayhi salatu wassalam, to what extent they went. That when the malaika came as guests to Lut alayhi salam, the intention went bad there also. To what an extent you go then when you get, and Allah Ta'ala, Allahu Akbar, our Shaykh, Rahimuhumullah, Jazahumullah Khair, explained that Allah Ta'ala revealed the ayat with regard to the guna of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, La'amrukka. Allah took qasam of the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. La'amrukka innahum lafi sakratihim ya'amahoon. They were blind, in their stupor, in their drunkenness of this guna of theirs. Nothing made sense to them. They told you, Lut alayhi salam, you know what we want. We don't want, he told, marry my girl, my daughters. I've got my daughters, marry them, and then you can, your natural desire you have got. They say, we don't want all that. You're so blind a person becomes. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali explained, why did Allah Ta'ala take the qasam of the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam for this guna of Lut alayhi salam? Pride and this guna of their homosexuality. The people of Makkah, the Quraysh of Makkah, that pride, they knew that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam is a true Nabi. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam said that he will be, I will kill whatever. He made a bad dua for him. And at that time, the people told him that you are animal, whatever it was. But he was so convinced that what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, as a non-Muslim, but he said that even just the tip of an arrow just has to touch me, which will come from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, something similar to that, and I will die. He was so sure, the Quraysh knew that, but the pride of them, they wouldn't want to accept it. So because of their pride, Allah Ta'ala took that as they were drowned in their pride, and the pride did not allow them to accept the truth, and made them blind and totally stupid in their blindness, so they did not accept the teaching of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And on the other, and the people of Lut, they were overtaken with it. So these are those gunas that are very, very terrible, and they make a person totally blind, and he just does not understand then what he must do, what he mustn't do. So hopefully it isn't in our circles. Allah makes that it does not come into our circles. Other places it's very, very common, and people just don't. They become blind and they just go like mad into that. So yeah, in our environment, we don't see women, alhamdulillah, but the shaitan has worked. And as yesterday one brother handed his phone to Maulana Musa, if we all can do that, and only if we need it, Maulana will give you the phone if you have to make a call. But we don't know also how shaitan works. That I know, I won't go into all these wrong things. But how shaitan gets a person to go, we know shaitan's tricks are so terrible. Shaitan works in this way. Just remember where I was. That one person told shaitan, all this havoc in the world you are causing, all this murdering, killing, and all the terrible persons and what's happening in the world. Shaitan said, where I got time to do all this? He said, no, you are the one who is responsible. Shaitan explained, my work is very, very little. For example, all I do, as our Shaykh Rahmatullah used to say, shaitan doesn't sleep also. He's such a busy man, he hasn't got time to sleep. His work, which he has taken a promise, I want to take the whole world, everyone, I'm going to lead them astray. So he has to work in the whole world. And also, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said, Whenever we are faced with some guna thought, it comes into a person. Now, how to know whether the thought of a guna is from shaitan or whether it is from nafs? If the thought just came once, it's from shaitan. Because shaitan hasn't got time to waste on every person. He just gives you a thought, do this, do this, do that, and he carries on. He has to tell another person. Nafs is with you. When the thought comes over and over, then know it is from nafs. So anyway, shaitan hasn't got time to be behind one person all the time. So he says, all I do, for example, is I put a drop of syrup on the wall, and I carry on. Now, just a drop of syrup, anyone will see what's wrong with a drop of syrup. Nothing. But what happens? A fly goes and licks the syrup. The fly likes the sweet thing, and the fly needs its food, so the fly went there. When the lizard saw the fly, then the lizard goes for the fly now. And when the lizard went for the fly, then the cat goes for the lizard. It is the food of the cat. When the cat went, the dog went for the cat. Dogs and cats fight, is famous and known. So when they are fighting, then the neighbor's dog comes and fight with this dog. Now the two dogs are fighting. Dogs, animals are fighting. Now the owner of this dog and the owner of that dog, the two neighbors start fighting. And in the heat of the fight and argument, a firearm comes out. A trigger is pulled and one person is lying dead. Now he is dead, the breadwinner of that family is dead now. They got problems now. The breadwinner of this family who pulled the trigger, he's gone to jail now. And now a court case, 2 years, 5 years court case, sentence, another 10-year sentence, 15-year sentence, whatever. Well, if they life sentence, or that he's also executed if that law is allowed. Now all way it started with one drop of syrup. So just like an innocent, that syrup is no guna. There's a drop of syrup somewhere, that's not a, but that one drop, where it leads to. So we also, on the internet, etc., every person feels, well, it's just one drop of syrup here. Maybe just an advert of something. And no even human picture on that advert or anything. But before you know, and before how many people who already, who full beards, topi, amama, everything, and in that dress, and before they knew, they were gone somewhere else. And such complaints also come. Then whatever they saw there, now they are making contact there. Now emails are coming from there. And they are replying. And then where it's going to lead to. All these things, where it leads to. And then it's not only your character that has been destroyed, now your financial position. Now your family, your relationship with your family, everything gets destroyed. So this eye, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, An-nazru sahmum min sihami iblis masmum, or kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam, the look, the one look of the eye, not the eye, one nazar, an-nazru, one look of that eye is a poisonous arrow of shaitan. And shaitan's arrows, what poison he puts on there, only shaitan knows, Allah knows what poison he's put on there. So this one look of the eye is very, very dangerous. So we have to learn, also in the month of Ramadan, if we make this little bit effort of controlling our eyes from halal also, that we just don't look. When Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, that we just keep our eyes down. Not so down that we go and bump into something or somebody, but we keep our eyes down. If we practice this for the 30 days, that in Ramadan, and it's easy, then out of Ramadan, inshallah, haram, a person will get completely saved. And so saved he will get. Our Shaykh says one time, with his Shaykh, Manan Abdul Ghani Phulpuri, rahmatullah alayhi, from Phulpur to the Darul Uloom was about 10 kilometers. And Hazrat should go every day on horseback to go and teach Bukhari Sharif in those days. Hazrat should go west. One day in the little village, there was an extremely beautiful woman. And one person who afterwards made Tawbah also, he came for Islam also. But he was one plunged totally into badnasri, just looking at woman. And he just, any woman, beautiful, ugly, but he just had to look. It was his day, and he came for his Islam. And he was worth also. When he saw that woman, he says, today your eyes do fall a little bit as you are moving. Hadrat will also definitely look. She's so beautiful. But he says they were shocked, not one bit, not even like from the side of the eye. Nothing whatsoever. So such control Allah will give up. Allah give us that control. And we know how much we are lacking. Forget if we're seeing a woman. There is no woman in our thought, she's there. She's in our mind and we are fantasizing here. She's in our heart, we are thinking and fantasizing. Your wife, halal wife, is sleeping next to you at night, but you are somewhere else. You are fantasizing, you are thinking of other things. So to get this under this control, wallah, it is possible, and it is this month Allah has given us. From there also let us understand how valuable this month is. If we look after this month properly, Allah will give us that. And a person who can look after his eyes, his tongue, that person, everyone respects him. And the first person who knows that your eyes are not under control is your wife. She is the first person because she is the most suspicious of you. So she, her intelligence on you is such that nobody has such got that intelligence on you. She is watching you and when she is satisfied, Allahu Akbar. And what respect, if you have respect in your wife's eyes, you'll have respect in everyone. And when the eyes are not under control, our talking is not under, we lose our respect, we have lost everything. So we have to learn to control our eyes. So this the month of Ramadan, yeah, when we are, it's permissible, we look around everything. But learn just to look down in this month. One time, one of our ustads told our sheikh of one friend who is in Jeddah, that he, even where they are only men, his eyes just don't lift up. He just looks down. So if we get that habit, we are very, very fortunate, a person who can look down. We are such that by nature also, if we just look down, we get a headache. Because till we don't look around, our freedom that has come into us, just to talk what we want to, say anything, just little restriction, and we feel lot of we are in chains now, and nobody want to live in chains, but live in chains for a little while, and you'll get freedom forever. One little saying that we say that in restriction there is freedom, and in freedom there is restriction. In this sense, like a student is in a third year class, he lives in restriction. He attends class on time. He studies on time. He does everything, namaz, everything in restriction. At the end of the year, he gets freedom. He goes to the fourth year. When he comes to the final year, he gets freedom. He's out of the madrasa. But a person who's a student who stays in freedom, doesn't attend class, I just feel like sleeping, I got a headache, just write a note, a sick leave, that I got a headache. Today this problem, tomorrow that problem. All the time, that person remains in restriction. And al-mu'min, al-dunya sijnul mu'min. Ya in restriction. When you go in your qabr, such freedom that your eyes, as far as your eyes can see, Allah will make that qabr of yours spacious. And those who lived in freedom in this dunya, with the eye, there will be such restriction that the ribs of one side will be into the ribs of the other side. So much of restriction. So yeah, live a life of restriction, then we will get a life of freedom in this dunya also within the limits of Sharia itself. And there we will get, and in Jannah, what freedom we will get. And on the other hand, the restriction in Jahannam, yeah, we live a life of freedom, then what life of restriction in Jahannam. So this eye, it's a great gift also. It is by which we recognize Allah Ta'ala also. And by which it is a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala also. And it is an amanat also from Allah Ta'ala. So this also, think of the eye. What a great ni'mat Allah has given us. And how to use it. Then we use it with the correct usage in this month. And then inshallah for the rest of the year, the rest of our lives, and forever in the qabr also, on the day of Qiyamah also, those people who learn to restrict their eyes and consequently everything else, on the day of Qiyamah they will be roaming around freely, no worries whatsoever. Whereas the other people will be shackled and they won't be able to move. For how long? Until they answer all their questions. And then they will have to go to Jahannam or whatever. Allah protect us all. So, So this is a great opportunity Allah has given us, this month of Ramadan. The correct usage of it is that we correct ourselves. And when we will do that, we will find, we will appreciate that this is the month also that gives us our freedom from all of this evil habits of us. And coming out of all our filth and dirt and whatever we have got, and going to purity and cleanliness and to Allah Ta'ala. Allah give us all tawfiq to use this month correctly, and to use our eyes also correctly, and all the parts, the tongue, the eyes, every part, and make our roza what roza is. Let Ramadan be what Allah has given us Ramadan for, and let the tilawat of the Quran Sharif, even without understanding, just read Quran Sharif just as we read now, just the reading of the Quran Sharif is a great boon from Allah, a great blessing of Allah Ta'ala. And when those who are ulama and we understand, as we explained, that Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, every day Supara he should see the Tarjumah. For the other day, one Ali, mashallah, sitting here also looking at the Tarjumah. That is a great thing. If we look at the Tarjumah also, we will get, there is no limit to the ulum of the Quran Sharif. And how much we engage in the Quran Sharif, so much that will get transferred into us. Like everything else, sohbat, the asar of sohbat. The asar of the sohbat of Quran Sharif, how much we read, it will get transferred. Allah give me this great honor and this great, and all of us, by the barakat of this month, by all of us being together with that common niyat that we want to make our islah, we want to gain the love of Allah, we want to correct ourselves, Allah in His kindness bless us, and when we leave here, we leave with this great treasure, inshallah. SubhanAllah.